With your Bibles in hand and open to the Song of Solomon this morning, please. Eight chapters and 12 verses down and 2 verses to go in the Song of Solomon. And we'll soon wrap this book up and be looking for the will of mind and the will of God. In fact, I've been looking for it. Trying to find what the Lord wants in the coming weeks and months at the church. I'd like to continue preaching through one book. It does me good to study, for one thing. And I think it, line upon line and precept upon precept, gives people a much greater understanding of the Word of God. Song of Solomon and chapter number 8. And this morning we're going to read verse number 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Now may the Lord add His blessing there on the Word of God. If you'll pray with Brother Hall. Our Father, we are thankful for the privilege of being in the house of God. What a wonderful blessing it is to be here. I pray that You'll speak to our hearts today as Your children. And God, that You'll pity us today as the same. And Lord, that You'd help us today, for we are in great need. I pray, O God, that You'd rain blessings and showers of blessings upon Your people today. May Your Spirit work in every heart in this place. Search us, Lord, and know us. See if there be any wicked way in us. Try us, that we might come forth, Lord, as pure gold. I pray that You'll manifest Yourself in this place, Lord, that we might see Thee high and lifted up. I pray, O God, that Your glory would fill this building today, as well as the hearts of the people of God. Lord, may sinners be saved, and God, may Your people get thoroughly right with Thee. May we today, Lord, see ourselves as God sees us, and confess our sin before the Lord, and get thoroughly right with God. I pray that You'll grow us in grace and knowledge, as the man said in Sunday school, that we might fellowship with Thee, and Lord, with one another. I pray You'll have Your divine will and way in every life, every heart. And Lord, I need that special anointing grace of the Spirit of God this morning. May You anoint me, Lord, with that oil from the apothecary this day and give liberty and power and unction, Lord, to preach the Word of God on this resurrection day. And we'll thank You, Lord, for every sinner that You resurrect and for every child of God that You revive. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Verse number 13, Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to Thy voice, cause me to hear it. I began studying for this morning and looking at this verse of Scripture. And to be quite honest, the longer I looked at it, the bigger it got. And so I expanded this morning's message into tonight's message. And the longer I looked at it in the night message, it grew bigger and bigger. And I've expanded it into Tuesday's message. And so what I'm going to try to do is take a 1 3-hour sermon and try to condense it down, if I may, in about 3 45-minute messages, if God would be gracious enough to allow me to do that. But I want to try to preach for a little while. Notice what He said, Thou that dwellest in the garden. And I want to try to preach for a little while today on life in the garden. The kind of life that you and I live in the garden. You remember some time ago when we identified the garden as a type of the church of the living God. And He said, Thou that dwellest in the garden. That word dwell means to inhabit. It means to live there. Thou that dwellest or dwelleth in the garden. I want to say this morning, I'm a church nut. I make no apologies about that. I'm glad, thank God, I'm a part of the church. And I enjoy being around the church of the living God. Now, when I first began to study this verse, I really believe that we were looking here at the words of the church. I thought this was the bride speaking to her Lord concerning His dwelling place in the gardens, which is the local church or the churches that we attend. But you know, I begin to think on that, and although Christ is in the midst of the church, through the habitation of the Holy Spirit, He is here, but you know, He occupies a much, much higher place and a much more splendid place in life than here in this low world of sin and sorrow. I'm glad to thank God that He that was upon this earth is now been exalted to the right hand of God the Father. Hallelujah to God. He came to earth to do the will of God and to do the work that God gave Him to do, and He finished that work. Having finished that work, the Bible said that He ascended back to the right hand of God from where He came. And so in person, in His physical body, He is not here in the midst of the church. But He is here in the person of the Holy Spirit. But He's not referring to Himself here. This is not the church speaking. This is the Lord speaking to the church. Because the words there, "thou that dwelleth," is in the feminine gender. And it simply means thou, or O thou inhabitress, or thou that inhabits the garden. I'm glad, thank God, that He's left you and I to inhabit the garden. I said a long time ago that our entire Christian life ought to be centered around the church. And friend, when we begin to lose sight of the church and what's going on in the church that He purchased with His own blood, we are in a backslidden condition. Amen. I like what Hannah did to little old Samuel when he got old enough and weaned from his mother's breast. She took him down to the house of God, to Shiloh, and put him there in the house of God where he could be raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and learn the ways of God. It is down at that little church alongside of the road that we learn about God. I'm telling you, friend, I wouldn't trade nothing for my life in the garden. I remember where I was out in the fields of sin, sickness and sorrow on my way through a devil's hell. Didn't care a thing about the church. Wasn't concerned about the church or what went on in the church. But there come a day in my life that He that had purchased the church with His own blood bought my never dying soul, redeemed me by His grace, led me down to that local assembly, baptized me into the body, amen to God, and I fell in love with the church of the living God. And if you don't love the church today more than you love other things around you, sir, you have got a real spiritual problem in your bosom. And by the way, where the carcass is, that's where the eagles are gathered together. And son, if you love the church, you'll find yourself hanging around the church some. That's one of the ways I can tell if a man's been called to preach. I remember when God called me, I couldn't get enough of the church. I owned a little old furniture store, and I'd find myself wanting to leave my wife there and go down to the church. I wanted to be around Brother Nolan. I wanted to be around the man of God and around the house of God. Amen. That was my life. God gave me a brand new life, and Christ is the center of it, and Christ is in the midst of His church through the person of the Spirit of God, and it ought to be our heart's desire to inhabit the church, dwell at the church, labor at the church, love the church, work for the church, be a part of the church, fellowship with the church. Amen to God. Amen. Now you let me interpret this and I'll get right into that. I've only got 3 points. One this morning, one tonight, and one Tuesday. All right? But I want to interpret this. thou that dwellest in the gardens, O thou inhabitress of the gardens, in the feminine gender. His garden is the church. Those companions that are hearkened to the voice are those young converts in the church. I tell you what posed the problem was the scripture that said, cause me to hear it. The companions hear your voice. Cause me to hear it. Somebody said, preacher, doesn't he hear everything that we say? Oh, no. That's what a whole lot of folks, my friend, understand. That all we got to do is drop on our backslidden knees when we need God and cry out to Him, and God will automatically hear. Oh, no, He said there is a life that you're going to have to live in order for me to hear your voice. Somebody said, preacher, I don't believe that. Behold, Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. And the last part of that says that He will not hear you. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. It don't do you a bit of good to live cold-hearted, backslidden on God, away from God, and think that He'll hear your voice. No, when He said, hey, thou that inhabitest the church, thou that dwellest in the gardens, thy companions hear thy voice, but get your heart right, live a holy life, a dedicated life, that I also might hear your voice in a time of need. Amen to God. Amen. Say a couple of things about the garden. And I'll get right into the message. I want to say that it was in a garden that death came to man. Amen. It was in the garden that God created old Adam in the image of Himself and put him in the garden. And He said in Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. To dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, I want to say, my friend, that Eve was deceived, amen, by the serpent, and did die the day she ate that fruit. Adam went into that sin with his eyes wide open because of his love for her. But mark it down, my friend, when he ate of that which God had forbidden, in that day he died. Not physically, but spiritually. He died, and that death separated him from his God. Now I'm here to tell you that ever since then, man that's born of woman has been spiritually separated from God. And there must be a reconciliation. There must be a mediator. I'm glad I can say there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, hallelujah, and the gulf of sin that I could not span because of that separation. The Lord Jesus that day upon the cross was able, my friend, to span that awful gulf of sin and reconcile man back unto God. Amen. Man died in a garden. Man died in a garden, but it was also in a garden that life sprang out of that very death. Woo! Son, you can get a hold of that. It'll make you turn a double backflip. John 19:41 said, now in the place where He was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. And Matthew said in Matthew 28:6, when those women came to that tomb looking for Him, that angel said, He is not here. Why? For He is risen. As they said, I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that life, my friend, sprung out of death in a garden. It was in a garden that man died. It'll be in a garden where man springs to life. I'm glad it's dead at that little old church house where a man can hear the preaching of the gospel, and where life can spring out of death, and he can come to life and have life everlasting and evermore. Thank God for the church. If you've been saved at the church, my friend, if you got life at the house of God, you ought to love the house of God. Amen. Amen. Makes me about half mad at the devil.
Amen.
This is the garden.
Amen.
This is where life takes place, son. By the way, conception and conversion here.
Amen.
Call me what you want. I'm not much on this easy believism. Bunch of devils running around all over the country today, shaking hands through a screen door, converting people in the streets, and their mind is on ball games, liquor, whoremongering, and dope, and they want to get them to repeat some little old phony prayer that they've made up themselves, and them folks put faith in that prayer. Oh no! Son, I like her down at the church house. I like to get down yonder in the garden where the power of the gospel is operative. And the Holy Ghost conceives that word in the heart of a sinner and waters it with the preaching of the saved. And that sinner, by grace, my friend, has brought to life in Almighty God.
Amen.
Somebody said, Jesus wanted them that way. Yeah, He could. He was the tabernacle. He was the church. The head of it. Amen. That's right. What kind of a life order we live here? For you men that won't be here tonight, get this now. The 3 points for the next 3 messages. A blessed life. A blessed life. A well-behaved life. And a bankrupt life is the life He wants us to live. Point one. Thou that inhabitest the gardens. What kind of a life have you got in the church? If you ain't already guessed it, it is a blessed life. Woo! Son, there ain't nothing like the kind of life. Oh, it's the blessings that is ours in the house of God every day of our life. I used to sing that old song at Sturgis. I am blessed. I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay me down to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed all day long. Why? Because I found life down at the house of God. I found life down in the garden. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. And because I'm saved, I want to go on saying I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. And because I'm saved, I find blessed at the house of God. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Huh? Praise God.
Amen.
Now I get about half mad at the devil.
Amen.
And if I ain't careful, I'll get half mad at some of you. Knowing we're blessed to be in church,
Amen.
We drag in, bless God, act like it's a chore to be here.
Amen.
And look at the preachers up to say, bless me if you can. I just set aside this morning, had 2 men say, preacher, something bothering you this morning? I said, yeah, I'm about half disgusted. About half ticked. I wanted to sit a while and see if anybody in here had enough grace to get just a little excited on resurrection morning when we contemplated the grace of God that had operated in our soul, spiritually resurrected us from death unto life, brought us out of darkness into light, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I want to see if there's enough of that grace in some of y'all on resurrection morning to show some signs of life. Like Brother Mike Moody sitting here preaching one night. He said there's a deacon in the church, had a heart attack, died. They called the undertaker and they carried out 5 before he got the right one. I wonder if that don't about me, does. Huh?
Yes.
Old devil can hoodwink us, blind us, get our mind to thinking what's the use. They really ain't no benefit in serving God, no happiness, no joy. What's the benefit? What? Oh, muchly so. There's many reasons, my friend. There's, why I'm blessed when I come to His garden. That's right. Somebody said, well, some of you look at me and say, well, bless me if you can. You couldn't be blessed if Jesus was here. Somebody said, "Preacher, how are you blessed?" I'm glad you asked. I ain't got but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 reasons why I'm blessed in the garden. I want to say that I'm blessed with the hearing of the Word of God. Simple, ain't it? But I'm telling you, it's a fact, and it's a Bible fact. Oh, John, isolated on the Isle of Patmos, friend, had nobody to fellowship with the Lord. You may get that way someday. Better learn to mingle, gentlemen and ladies, and fellowship with the brethren and the sisters. Better learn to come to church and fellowship with God. There may come a day, friend, when you're isolated from your brethren and have nobody to converse with but God. Who are you going to converse with then? I've walked in the nursing home a number of times and saw my daddy sitting there in despondence and despair. Nobody around him, sitting there by himself eating M&M peanuts. Right. Tears in his eyes, wishing mama was there. Somebody come by and visit him. Right. What are you doing, Pop? Waiting on the death angel. Amen. Son, there may come a time when you get that way, friend. Amen. You're going to need a little fellowship and you'll only have one you can turn to. Yeah. If you think that world out there gives a ragtag flip about you, you're dumber than a box of rocks, son. I'm telling you, our fellowship, I am declaring what I know from God to you, that you might have fellowship with me and Him today. Woo! Somebody said, "I don't want to have fellowship with you." I know it. You proved that after Sunday school this morning. I won't charge you nothing for that. That's free. Amen! Hearing the Word of God, old John out there on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord spoke to him, and he said, "John, get this, if you don't get nothing I say." But he said, "Blessed is the man that readeth." Somebody said, "Now, preacher, you don't have to be in church to read." Oh, no, you can read at home. You can be blessed by reading the Word of God at home. I wonder how much reading at home we're doing. You can fellowship with Him at home and in the garden if you want to. By reading that Bible and let Him speak to you. Let Him talk to you. He walks with me and He talks with me. Let Him talk to you a while. Then fall down on your face and talk to Him a while. And have a little fellowship there in the home. Hallelujah to God. One of the ladies come by me on Sunday and said, "Preacher, I had one of them cakes this last night." I said, "Woo!" That's what the rest of you need is a cake. But that verse don't end there. Blessed is a man that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Now I'm glad, hey, that you can read it at home, but you just about got to get where somebody else is talking, friend, in order to hear it. Now I've got a funny feeling he's talking about hearing it down at the church house. Down at God's local church, down yonder in the garden. I counted it a real joy. Old Brother Steve said, "Well, I ain't got much this morning. I'm kind of weak, and that I can't go long. That's about all I got." I'm going to tell you, friend, you could get up and read John 3:16, and it ought to be enough to suffice our souls. Just knowing God loved the world and gave His Son, that whosoever believeth upon Him might have life. And praise God, I'm glad He come that we might have it more abundantly. Amen. Even without one leg, you can have it abundantly. Even in Kentucky, you can have it abundantly if you want it. Without a wife, you can have it abundantly if you want it. With diabetes, you can have it abundantly if you want it. With a barren womb, you can have it if you want it. Without a job, son, you can have it if you want it. Our joy and our life is not in meat and bread of it. It's in peace and righteousness. Then the Holy Ghost where our joy, happiness is at, our life. Life in the garden. It's a blessed life. Just from hearing the Word of God. But He goes on to say, keep read that Word and hear the words. And to keep those things which are written therein. You can't have a blessed life without keeping it. You know why He said to keep it? for the time is at hand. That's in the book. Read it, friend. It'd be a real time to start keeping this book. I hope I didn't blow some of you out. Hope you didn't get mad at Brother Hall. I'm trying to help you. You can, hey, over in the corner, you can have a blessed life even if you ain't in that house yet. You can have a blessed life when family members are in rebellion.
Amen. Right.
You can have a abundant life when your family won't hear a word you say about God.
Amen.
My life in this garden is a personal life between me and my Lord. Hallelujah to God. And John had it blessed on the Isle of Patmos when there wasn't nobody around but him and God. I think Daniel had a time in the dinner line, nobody but him and God. Woo! God tried to bless Jonah, set him down under a gourd, and Jonah didn't want that kind of blessing. He didn't want that life. Them three Hebrews was inside a furnace of fire. Son, him was awoken and a-talking and a-praising God. Oh, yes, son, I'm talking about the life in the garden is a blessed life today. I'm hearing the Word of God. I won't say it's a blessed life. A life that is blessed with the hearing of the Word of God. It's a life that is blessed with a healing for the heart. Some of you can get healed. Some of y'all have already been healed. Some of you can get healed if you want it. Boo, I tell you, somebody said, I've been wounded. I'm going to tell you where to get healed. Now, I'm going to tell you where there's a bomb. Is there a physician? Is there a bomb in Gilead? Oh, yes, sir. Son, there is one that can add healing to your wounded soul this morning. Somebody said, where'd you get that? I'm glad you asked. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Whoop! Are you brokenhearted this morning? Are you poor in spirit? Are you grieving in heart? Do you feel like you've been wounded? I'm here to tell you, friend, that there is healing for your wound at the house of God. He's able to pour in that balm of Gilead, that healing ointment to your wound, that mollifying ointment today that will heal your wounded spirit. Are you listening to me? Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what's wrong with you? Well, I'm going to tell you, just to be honest. I love you. I prayed for every one of you this morning. Amen. Every one of you in this room. Amen. Prayed for you. And I prayed to your need.
Amen.
And it grieves my heart. Amen. See you come in on Sunday. Every Sunday morning is a resurrection morning.
Amen.
See you come in on that Easter Sunday morning when we ought to be shouting the housetop down. Amen. Shouting on the housetop. And I see some of you come in whooped, despondent, discouraged, right, beaten down, downtrodden.
Amen.
Some of you may say, well, preacher, I've been wounded. Well, join the crowd.
Amen.
Ain't we all? But I'm glad that He come to heal the brokenhearted.
Amen.
If you'll take the word that is preached in the garden and saturate your soul with it, that word, son, that word will heal wherever you're wounded. Has somebody's tongue wounded you? Have you been wounded by words? Have you been wounded from neglect? Have you been wounded through labors? And have you been wounded by troubles and turmoils and trials? What's wounded you? I know some of you is wounded because you're laying on the bed of affliction this morning. You're languishing on the bed. I can hear your groans in your spirit all the way up on the platform. I can see the groans in your face. And look here, I just read last night where it talked about iron sharpeneth iron. And it said, even so, the countenance to a friend. Are you listening to what I'm saying, son? That friend, that countenance that we have will sharpen other countenances. We come into the church looking like this, everybody for long, and we're about there. It started out little, but under God, it has grown like a cancer. It has grown like a tumor. I'm glad He can lay a knife to that tumor, buddy.
Yeah.
Amen to God. I'm still trusting Him too.
Yeah.
that He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Somebody said, preacher, how many folks has He healed? What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that little old widow woman in the book of 1 Kings that lost her boy? And old Elijah walked into that room where that little old widow woman's boy was at and stretched himself upon his body. And the Bible said the light came back to that boy. I'm going to tell you, there was a wounded mama from the death of a baby that found help and healing for that wound.
Amen.
Now, I never did see this until I started studying for this message. But Elisha, another widow woman had another baby, and that baby died, and Elisha spread himself upon that baby. Now, somebody said, I wondered where he got that. I'm going to tell you where I thank God. I believe he was standing right there, possibly with old Elijah. What in the world is Elijah doing? When he saw that little boy dead, he probably said, it worked for Elijah. Sure to God, it'll work for me. Now, I'm going to tell you, if it worked for them, it'll work for us. If that mollifying ointment worked for those widow women, it'll work for you and I today. That one little old widow woman from Nain was following that casket down the road, headed down toward the cemetery. What a terrible, terrible, grievous wound in her heart. Her only son, her only boy, headed down to the cemetery. On his way to be buried. But oh, she had a big surprise for that day. For Jesus had to pass by that way, son. And when he reached out and touched the casket, the Bible said, they that bear it stood still. I'm glad that sin, Satan, and death and hell had to stand still. Son, and that's why that we've got life today. Life moves on, but sin, Satan, death, and hell is standing still under the grip of the power of God today. You get a hold of that. Amen. I wonder if some of you would smile if I'd throw this lily at you. I'm going to have to hurry. My time's running out. I won't say three. Where's my specs? A life that is blessed with the hearing of the Word of God. A life that is blessed with the healing for the heart. A life that is blessed with help for the present. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Isaiah 41:13, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Woo! Saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Somebody said, I can't get no help. Sir, ma'am, you don't want help. You do not want help. You made up your mind you don't want help. And son, you got to want help to get help. A man is not going to be cut on for appendicitis unless he wants to go to the dock. I've never gotten over people. That amazes me. They get sick and run to the doctor. Some of you people in here drag your child to the doctor if they get gas on their stomach. I mean, they can't get the colic, son, without being drug off to a doctor. And yet you adults sit in here diseased with sin in your heart, depriving you of the blessings of God, and you won't go to the doc to get help. He'll help you. He's got the right medication. You got the croup? Sonny, I'll give you croup medication. Got the colic? He'll settle your belly. Got a heartburn? He'll give Zantac. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad He can cure a heartburn today. Got a headache? He's got the right kind of Tylenol pills, buddy. He can do it. I'm telling you, they's help with God. They's help with God. He can help. Hey, that's right. He's got a juniper tree for you to set under, a cruise of water, and some kind of cake on the fire.
Amen.
Amen. You may not find Him in the wind, the whirlwind, the earthquake, and the fire, but if you listen, you'll hear His voice in a still, small voice.
Amen.
That's right. I've got to hurry because my time's gone. I didn't intend to preach this long. We're blessed with hearing to read a Word of God. Blessed with healing for the heart. Blessed with help for the present. I'm blessed with hope for the future.
Woo!
Somebody, yeah, I don't think we are going down this way. Who was that old war hero that said, "Are you ready to surrender?" And he said, "Sir, we've yet begun the fight." So yes, and I've got news. I made up my mind a long time ago. As being, well, I don't want to put it this way, but I guess I got to now. If I'm called on as the captain of that ship and she goes down, blood, 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 son, I'm going down with it. So if you think you're going to run me off and then the ship go down, honey, you might as well pack your grip, hit the door. I ain't planning on going nowhere. If this ship goes down, she'll go down with me, a throwing out buckets and pails of water and a paddling her along the best I can. Amen to God. I got news for you. The old ship of Zion, son, ain't a going down. Like Larry Rain says, if he started the church, if it dies, put a tombstone out there, say this church died doing the will of God. Let's at least do the will of God. Amen. Amen. And that she will not, cannot, can't go down doing the will of God. Amen. That's right. Made up my mind, buddy. I'm ready to fight hell. If I have to, charge it with a water pistol. Swing out over it on a corn silk. Amen. I want some of you to get a little grit in your crawl.
Yes.
Is it worth fighting for?
Amen.
He thought it was worth dying for. So to God, we can fight for it.
Amen.
If he died for it, we ought to be able to live for it. Life in the garden. Oh, thou that dwellest in the garden.
Yes.
The companions hear thy voice. I wonder if I've got any companions in here today. Young converts, they just two or three. I made up my mind if they one or two families that want to stay with God and get right with God and go on, shall I be here if you're willing to hear what Paul's got to say. I'm ready to give her to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Got any companions in here? I believe there's some hope. I've got hope. Oh, my soul, why art thou so disquieted within me? Hope thou in God.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to this verse of Scripture. The wilderness. This is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Sounds like something down the road to me. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy. And with singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Strengthen ye the weak hands and the feeble knees and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful heart, be strong. Are you a fearful heart today? Be strong.
Yes.
And fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. I'm glad to.
Yes.
I'm about ready to have a fit.
Yes.
He's a coming. My God is a coming. He's a coming. I've got hope this morning. That is my blessed hope. And by the glorious appearance of our great God, He is coming.
Yes.
I've got hope in the future. Son, why would it help Peter, James, and John in a sailboat not help me and you in this boat? He is a present help. I've got some hope yet for the future.
Amen.
Hallelujah. My God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense. Get these last statements in that verse. He will come and save you. You got that hope? Lift up your eyes, weary children. Your redemption draweth nigh. Buddy, we've trod this path a long time. The battle's been rough and raging. The devil's been a worthy adversary and foe, an enemy of God and His people. But lift up your eyes, weary children, and look unto the hills from which cometh your help. I see Him now as a robe. You know what that last verse in Solomon said?
Yeah.
Woo! Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. Son, he's a coming. That little bride said, he, Jesus said, oh, thou that dwellest in the garden, thy companions hear thy voice, called me to hear. She said unto God, don't wait any longer. Come on back like a young roar of heart on the mountains of spices. I'm a longing and a waiting for the trumpet to sound. Oh yes, I'm a hallelujah to God. I can't wait. I can't hardly wait till he gets here. He is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Amen to God. I've got two more points. He's blessed us with the hearing of the Word of God, the healing of the heart, help for the present, hope for the future, holiness from the Father. That's right. Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, that ain't a big blessing, is it not? He said, be holy for I'm holy. Oh, we can rejoice at that, but you better get hold of what I'm getting ready to say, sir. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
And I've got news for you, and this wasn't in my notes, but he didn't just say holiness there. Peace and holiness.
Amen.
Have you got them?
Amen.
What a blessing. Somebody said, where'd you get that holiness? I'm down there at that little old garden alongside the road.
Amen.
Sitting alongside the road of Highway 56 West. Scottsburg, Indiana. Little old white, pardon me, folks, ladies and gentlemen, for all these folks that are great fans of Phil Kids that wouldn't preach in a Southern Baptist church, I got saved in one.
Amen.
I don't cotton to the way they live, but I got saved in one. I won't say again, I got saved!
Amen.
I got saved in one! Now, I'm just going to tell you, you can like it, lump it, hump it, dump it, bump it. Don't make it rip to me. A man tell me he wouldn't preach in that church. He is an absolute idiot.
Amen.
You know what he's saying? They don't need the gospel. Why should I preach? God said, preach to me, son. When he said, go preach, he didn't say, where? He just said, go. And a man that won't preach to the Ninevites, says a Jonah.
Amen.
He'll wake up one of these days.
With
no restrictions on me, I'd preach in the Vatican, son.
Yes. Amen.
I'd look right old John Pope, John Paul, saw him in the paper where they leaning out over that thing and kissing that silly statue of Jesus hanging up there on that cross. He ain't there.
That's right.
He's risen!
Yes.
Son, he has risen! He's not a dead Savior on a cross. He's a risen Lord, and bless God, a coming King.
Yes.
Thank God that'll preach.
Amen.
I'll run it by you again. He's a dying Lord, a dying Savior, a risen Lord, and a coming King. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
This is going to get us. This is the one that's going to bear us. Last one. He's blessed me with happiness in the heart. I am happy today, and the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled away. For Jesus said, whosoever will may come with me to stay. And whosoever surely meaneth me, surely meaneth me, oh, surely meaneth me. Whosoever surely meaneth me, whosoever meaneth me. Now come on in the house. I'm fixing to nail some of you side. Happy is the people that is in such case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, I'm saved, preacher. Are you really?
That's right. Amen.
If you're saved, why do you look like you're dead?
That's right.
Folks, I didn't write that. God wrote it in His book.
That's right. Amen.
happy is the people whose God is Lord.
Amen.
I found happiness down in that little garden. On that Sunday morning, 10 minutes after 12, when I realized the burden of my sin was rolled away. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart was rolled away. Son, that load was lifted, lightened. God gave me a song and a joy and a peace I'd never had before. He's still my Lord. Can He make y'all happy?
Amen.
Don't quench God. And why, I don't know. I'm honest before God. Some of you, I can't figure it out.
Amen.
I don't know why. I can't figure it out. I know some of you. Some of you, just the way you are. Just your personality. And I've learned to accept that. Some of you have been through a flight of affliction. And understand that. But even those that's been through most of the flight of afflictions, every now and then can smile at the preacher.
Right. Amen.
But when there's no smile, I mean, Cater lives with Anna all these years and he still smiles every now and then.
Amen.
I got up yesterday morning. You don't think, buddy, that it can't be real? I got up yesterday morning. That's all give. I got. She had my herbs, took my herbs, and fixed her coffee, got my hug. And sitting in there, and she said, "Is something bothering you?" I broke down and began to cry. I said, "I don't want you sitting with all them people." She said, "What are you talking about?" And I had a dream that I walked into this little old restaurant. And I could see Miss Hall sitting at a big table with a bunch of people, men, women, all kinds, just laughing, carrying on. And that waiter said, "Yes, sir. Table?" I said, "Please." He said, "How many in the party, sir?" "One." And I said, "Could you set me over that table where I can be with them people by and over there?" When I got to that table, Miss Hall, and all them people was gone. I sat down and looked at their food all gone, and I thought how lonesome I was. And I'm going to tell you, I woke up with that loneliness. As we used to say, as a boy, I had a blue, blue day. But I told her that, and I saw that little smile on her face. And she said, "I'm not going to sit with anybody but you. And we'll eat together at our table." And you know, it put I started getting back to the old normal self. And what I'm saying is this. We can have those blue days. Folks, if we're really right in our heart with God, realize what He's done for us.
Amen.
It won't stay there. There's a valley. But there's mountains. Anybody in here lost a leg lately? I saw a picture of the man that's I don't know what to call him, commander of the DAV, all the United States. He's sitting in a wheelchair with both legs gone up to here. And he was sitting there with a big smile. And I thought, man, that man can smile with both legs gone. And we got Baptists, and he's probably lost. And we've got Baptists saved, sanctified, sealed to the day of redemption. And you can't get a smile out of it. Something gone wrong in the field of somewhere. And I think, can I share with you? And I know I've run over my time. I share with you what I think of this. Like Brother Steve preached on this morning. Everything ain't went our little way. And our joy is not of the Lord.
Amen.
It's in circumstances.
Right. Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Not in the circumstances, the providence that God leads us into. Our joy is in the Lord.
Amen.
Can you not joy this morning in fact? Heaven is your home. I will come and save you, he said. Oh, thou that dwellest in a garden, thy companions hear thy voice. Cause me to hear. Cause me to hear. A blessed life, life in the garden, is a blessed, wonderful life. Let's stand.